Church has been a blessing to our church, Bethany Baptist Church, since it started, and I thank God for you. Some of you may not realize that, but maybe one of the reasons I'm standing tonight, standing preaching tonight, is because of the Lord using this church. Amen. We've at a time in my life when I wasn't looking for God, He was looking for me, even though I was a saved young man. We got out with this church at the Navajo Reservation. The Lord got hold of my heart. Amen. It was June 2003. The Gorland girls were singing. And I'll never forget, they were singing, "I Have a Goodly Heritage." The Lord blew in there. And when I left there, I left different than I came. And I wasn't saved that day, but the Lord got hold of my heart. Amen. That was June 2003. In July, the Lord called me to preach. I surrendered right here at the front of this church. And I thank God for it. Amen. And so I praise Him for His goodness and for this church and Brother Charlie, his faithfulness. I made many good friends over the years, and I thank the Lord for it. Amen. You've been a blessing. Keep on serving the Lord. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10. You'll know the verse very readily tonight. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10. Where the Bible says, "That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death." I want to pray right there if we may. Father, we're thankful again for the night, Lord, for the opportunity to be in Your house, Lord, to stand behind this sacred desk, Lord, and to preach the Word of God. Lord, I pray, Lord, that You would fill us and use us tonight, Lord, for Your honor and Your glory. And we are thankful for this church, Lord, and for the good people here, Lord. I pray, Lord, You'll touch and meet with them, Lord. Bless those that have heard prayer requests already today, of those that are sick, Lord, of those that have lost loved ones. Lord, I pray You'll be close to them, Lord, in these days, Lord. I pray You'll just help us tonight, feed us from Your Word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So you know the verse here, Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, where the apostle said, "That I may know Him." Now, you know, it's been a strange year or so, hasn't it? Between COVID and we had the whole political cycle, as mentioned to Brother Charlie a while ago, and you know, it's been a weird time. It's almost been a spiritual drought, it seems like. You know, we've had as much church, just like you have, as we could, and tried to do as much as we could to render unto Caesar the things that were Caesar, and render unto God the things that were God, and, you know, and also take care of our church family, because we love one another, right? We don't make anybody sick, and all those things. It's just been strange. And, you know, we got on through this thing probably middle of the summer over at Bethany there, and we hadn't had Sunday school. We'd finally got to meet again. You know, after several weeks and we're just meeting, you know, Sunday morning and Sunday nights, our auditorium is very long and big, so we're able to pretty spread out. We had the every other pew thing going, you know, and all that going on. And we finally got to get, but we still weren't having Sunday school. You know, we just like y'all, we missed vacation Bible school. We missed youth camp, all the things that, you know, we love to do. And I identify with you, the jail ministry, the nursing homes, all those things. But we really noticed our young people began to suffer maybe a little bit from that. And so my dad and I were talking and praying about it. And we decided to do what we called a Bible club. And you know, at that time, it really wasn't affecting the young people very much. And so, even though it was kind of spreading, so we thought maybe that'd be safe. So we gathered together on Friday nights, young children only, and myself and Miss Valerie. And started meeting with what we call a Bible club. And I prayed about this thing and said, "Lord, what would You have the purpose of this to be?" And the Lord gave me this very verse, Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, "That I may know Him." And I wanted the young people to know Him. Amen? I wanted them to know Him as their Savior, but I wanted them to know Him more than that. Amen? Know Him beyond that. And we were getting together. He said, "You know, we have clubs. The kids have been in different things just like yours have over the years. We've been in 4-H and you know, all the different sportings and things." And I said, "Well, we need a pledge. We've got to have a pledge. We've got a club. You've got to have a pledge. You know, we go to Vacation Bible School. We still have a little Christian school at our church. And we say, you know, American Christian and Bible pledges every morning before school starts." And so we needed a pledge. So we were joking about it. We're going to come up with a pledge. And I'm the least talented by far of my family of any kind of writing or anything. Musical instruments and all those things. You've met a lot of them. They can do stuff. And I can't do that stuff. But you know, I was joking and making up rhymes and picking on Valerie and the kids. And so we got to have a pledge. Well, one long after Emma Kate, she came out of the room. She wrote a little pledge. And I said, "Well, that's pretty good. That'll work." And we give God the glory. But here was our little pledge we started our club with through the summer. I don't know. We probably met 12 weeks or something maybe. When we started like this. "I pledge to love the Lord my God, serve Him with all my heart, to seek His face in prayer each day, to read His Word, walk in His way. The love of Christ I will surely share, that I may know Him be my prayer. And day by day as I follow Him, He will help me the victory win. So that's how we started our pledge. And that was the theme of our club. I want to know Him, and I want to know Him. Maybe that song, maybe you sang it many times, I want to know more about my Jesus, right? I know we know Him if we've been saved, we've met Him personally. But think who's writing here. The Apostle Paul is writing, right? And Apostle Paul saved. He met Jesus, told us all about it in Acts chapter 9 on the road to Damascus. But even here to this church, he said, hey, I want to know that I may know Him. Well, thought he already met Him. He didn't meet Him, but he wanted to know more, right? And he says later in the text that we'll talk about, hey, I haven't got it all yet. And nobody here tonight has made it. We have not arrived spiritually. Let's just be honest. So a lot of you are farther along the line than I am. Praise the Lord. Some of us are in different places in our walk with God and those kind of things, but none of us have made it all the way yet. And there's always more to know about Him. And I thank God for that. That this Bible is an endless well. Amen. And so is our Savior. You can dig and dig and dig and you'll never find the bottom because there's so much goodness of God in there. And when you begin to think you know God, in just a little bit, you realize I really don't know anything about Him because that's how vast He is. Well, after all, He's, you know, beginning, it has no ending, so there's no way to ever get to all that. But let's look at this text for a minute tonight, and we'll just start and maybe do a little verse by verse for these few verses here tonight, and tie it all together prayerfully at the end, and then we'll go on about our way. But as he started right there, he says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Philippians 3, verse 1, to write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. It's always safe to rejoice in the Lord. Amen. Thank God for that. He already said the same thing 7 times. If you know anything about the book of Philippians, it's a book of joy, a book of rejoicing. And you could go through chapter 1, verse 4, 18, 25, 26. I mean, just go all through there. And he tells us to rejoice in the Lord and rejoice in the Lord and have joy. And he says here, hey, it's a safe thing. He says, it's not grievous for me to remind you about this again. I've already reminded you 7 times. I'll say it again because it's good. You know, I find myself when I'm rejoicing in the Lord, I'm not griping. Yeah, stay out of trouble. When I'm rejoicing in the Lord, then I'm looking at the goodness of God, not all my problems and all I need. And he says, it's a safe thing to rejoice in the Lord. Praise the Lord for that. And then verse number 2, he says, beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. Dogs are false prophets. These evil workers are false Christians. And then you know those concisions were those Judaizers. They wanted to add that in the age of grace here, they wanted to add those works in there, right? You needed to be circumcised to be saved. And they wanted to bring all that in there. And he said, hey, beware of all that stuff. This is just the apostle trying to help his church out, right? Just trying to be a blessing. Give you some things to help you here. Beware of those things. And hey, even 2021, we've got to beware. Amen. Not everybody that says Lord, Lord, right, is not one of his. Not everybody that's got a Bible, right, is God's man. And everything you see on TV or on the radio, right, is not. You got to be careful about those things. And you got to try the spirits, the Bible says. But he said, hey, beware of those dogs. Beware of those evil workers. Beware of that concision, church. Be careful about those things. Verse 3, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. So then he was just going in and taking that point about that concision and driving it on home a little bit further. Hey, we are the circumcision, he said. Hey, those of us that are born again by the grace of God, we worship God in the Spirit. We rejoice in Christ Jesus, he said. We don't have any confidence in the flesh. We don't put confidence in that I've done this thing. We know that spiritual circumcision happened when we got born again by the grace of God. That's what he teaches us over there. And said, hey, church, don't get hung up in that thing. It's amazing how these little fads and things will come through the church, these little doctrinal things, and get everybody all, you know, some new thing. And that was going on there. They were trying to add these things on top of what the Lord had told him to do. And he was just straightening that up. But he said now in verse 4, you want to talk about resumes? You want to compare about doing things? Well, let's look at verse 4. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he have whereof, he might trust in the flesh, I more. said, hey, these guys want to talk to you about what you need to do and about putting confidence in the flesh. He said, well, hey, I can tell you about those things. I've done all those things. Verse 5, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. You want to talk about a resume, right? It's the kind of guy you'd want to hire. He's got it all going on. Religious pride there in the text. He's got national pride. He's got educational, all these things that we in the world say, man, this is a good guy. This guy's got it going on. But then verse 7 comes right behind it, and he says, but those things which were counted to me, I counted loss for Christ. Those things that mean so much to us, right? We always tell our kids, and it's good, all right, go get an education so you can do better than I did, right? Go get a job. I mean, they should get an education, right? But, we think that the things of the world are so important. Paul said, hey, I had all that stuff, and it was nothing. I counted it loss. I got rid of that, so to speak, so I could have the excellency of Christ, he said. Verse 8, he continues, yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. He said, hey, I lost all that stuff. You know what? It didn't mean anything. Thank God for an education. Thank God for a good job. You ought to have one. We need folks that got an education. We need folks that can get a good job. Why? So they can give to Faith Promise Missions. Eh? So they can support the local church. But that's not who you are. People always ask me, what do I do? Well, what do I do is not who I am. I'm a metal building estimator. I don't go around and say, hello, I'm an estimator. Who cares, right? I'm a Christian. That's who I am, man. All right, and I guess maybe if I was a doctor or something, I had more degrees than a thermometer, I could tell everybody, I'd be proud of those things. And Paul had them, right? But he said, hey, who cares about what I have? All that was nothing. I counted all but loss. For what? That I may win Christ. He recognized there was something more important going on. And I'm telling you here tonight, there's something more important going on than what's going on in our bank account. There's something more important going on than what's going on in Washington. There's something more important going on, and it's available to every child of God that'll get somewhere and get along with God and get on their knees and get in this book. You can know some things that the rest of the world do not know. Amen? You can know the King of Kings that we talked about this morning that came riding in a real and a personal way. And I know you know that. I may know Christ. He said all things but lost, verse 8. Lost my place. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. He said over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2, for I determined, well, let me read it so I don't misquote it. We're getting in a hurry. We're running 100 miles an hour. We'll slow down. We don't have anywhere to go. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 2, he said over there, verse 1, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. He got it settled together. He said, hey, this is what's important. This is what I want to know about you. This is what I was determined to preach. This is what I want the focus to be on. And would to God that be the focus of our hearts and lives. We have to live in this world. We have to work in this world. We have to take care of our families. There's nothing wrong with hobbies and all those things that we do. But all those things can be counted but dung, but lost when it comes to knowing and walking with Christ. Amen. And those of you that know Him agree with that. That's what I gave my testimony. I can remember that's where I was in life at 20 years old. I think it was 2003. Yeah. Somewhere around that, 21 years old. Well, I probably turned 21 in September that year. And I can remember that I thought that all those things that Paul talked about was what I was looking for. The best job that did the least amount of work and made the most money, right? That's what we're looking for, right? And that's what are you going to be when you grow up? I want to make a lot of money and do a little bit of work, right? Why? Because I want to hunt and fish and do all those things that I want to do. Have a lot of time off and, all those things. That's what I thought was important, but thank God He got a hold of my heart and I recognized none of that meant anything. I've been searching and searching, Lord, what should I wasn't searching with Lord, what should I do? And I changed majors three times, I remember, in college. I went all over the map, right? And I was in general, and then went business administration, banking and finance for a while. Then I went way out in left field and went to surveying, all right, at the community college. And then just didn't know what I wanted to do because I never thought to say, God, what do you want me to do? That's a good question to ask, right? That's what Apostle Paul said when the Lord met him on the road to Damascus. Lord, what will thou have me to do? Amen. But thank God when His Holy Spirit got a hold of my heart, and I used myself as a personal testimony, but then I said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Amen. I'll give you my life.
I'll do whatever you want me to do. I can remember my dad at the time just started the church over at Bethany in 2002. And he needed everything, right? And can somebody help lead the singing? Somebody do this and that? I didn't want to do nothing, right? When the first time they met, I think they had maybe 11 people. I don't know how many they had. I wasn't there. I didn't even go because I was young and doing what I wanted to do, I thought. But so I said, all right, Lord, I'll give it all to you. I'll do whatever you want me to do. And so I told my dad, all right, I'll help. I'll lead the singing. Whatever you want me to do. I got right with the Lord. You know, and then I messed up and come to the camp meeting over here, right? And the Lord says, preach. No, I didn't. I didn't agree to that. I said, I'll do whatever you... Well, he said, that is what I want you to do. I can remember just as well as the day I was sitting right back there. And the Lord said, preach. I said, oh, no, that wasn't what I meant. But it didn't take long, and we got out here and got it right. And I said, okay, that's what he meant. And so I thank God for that. And all of a sudden, then it kind of came into picture, right? What God wanted me to do. And then he took care of us, and then the financial things and all that got better in time. Lord gave us a job and a family and all that. But now we had a purpose. You know what I'm saying? We had a purpose. It wasn't just go make money or just go get the, you know, keep up with the Joneses or get the biggest house on the best street or drive the, you know how we are, rednecks in Mississippi. I'm sure they're the same over here, you know, the biggest truck with the biggest tires that makes the much noise, you know, all those things. And you know, the best hunting rifle and the best, all that, you know, we wanted all that. But all of a sudden now I recognize that the purpose was more. It was to know Him. Amen. And so, I don't want to get ahead of myself in the text, but let's go ahead. Verse number 11. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. If there's just any chance, he said, I might be able to attain here. Let's look at a verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I'm coming right back here. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. Apostle Paul said he wanted to attain something over here in Philippians chapter 3. He said that he wanted to, I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. And here he's saying the same thing. We're striving for something. We're running a race and we're all in this thing. And hey, I haven't got it all yet, but I'm trying to get there. And he tells us that in the next verse. No, not as though I had already attained. But we're in this race and the race isn't over yet. Amen. We're still running the race until the song says, until one glimpse of His dear face, right? One of these days our race will be done, but right now we're still in the race. And so, no, we have not yet attained. We haven't got it yet. We haven't got that, Brother talks about in the Sunday school this morning. We haven't got that glorious, glorified body. We haven't got that redeemed body yet. We've got a redeemed soul. But that one of those days is coming. That resurrection of the dead is coming. But, I hadn't already attained. Either we're already perfect. We're not perfect. We've got perfect. God's imputed righteousness in us, right? But our old flesh is not perfect. We know that. Far from that. You just go a couple days without taking a shower. You'll figure that out real quick, right? The flesh will tell on you. And either we're already perfect, but I follow after. He said, I ain't got it. You know what I'm doing, but I'm going to follow after it. I know what I'm looking for. I'm in behind it. Now, I used to run coon dogs back in the day. And we'd turn them loose and they'd get on the track. And those dogs were very single-minded, thankfully. If you got one that wasn't, you got rid of them. Because I didn't want a deer dog or a rabbit dog. I wanted a coon dog, right? And that dog, if you didn't do that, then we'd do something else with him. But... you turn them loose, and the way my old dogs were, you couldn't even call them back. Some guys had good trained dogs; they could call them back. Mine wouldn't. If you turned them loose, when you caught them, you was gonna catch them on the tree when they got to what they were doing. They had one purpose, and their purpose was to run that race in the tree, that coon. They had a single-minded, and they followed after that deal until they got it done, until they got it accomplished. And you know that may be just a simple thing about old country coon dogs, but if we could learn something from a coon dog every now and then, to be a little more single-minded and get a hold of this thing and run our race until we get it done, man, until we get him treed, so to speak. And that's what Paul said. But I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. What's the word apprehend mean? It means to capture, to get a hold of. Something got a hold of Paul, he said that day. And whatever this thing was that apprehended him, he said, I want to apprehend that, for which also I'm apprehended. He said, that thing got a hold of me, and now I want to get a hold of it. Amen. I want some more of what I got. You know what I'm saying tonight? The Lord gave us a little touch when He saved us, and every now and then He blows by and meets with us. And I thank God for that when He meets in the service. You know what I really thank God for? When he just meets with just me. You know, maybe I'm a little selfish, but if I'm just in my little desk in my office and the Lord shows up, you know, when I get a little taste of that, you know what? I want some more. I want some more of that. I want to follow after that. I want to get a hold of that thing that got a hold of me, and I don't want to let it go. Maybe like Jacob of old, you know. He's holding on to that angel, and they were wrestling, and he wasn't going to let him go. Not letting you go. Do you give me a blessing? It's the way it ought to be sometimes, I think. Spirits are so speaking. Just, Lord, I'm just out in behind you. I'm hot after you. I'm looking for you. He said, brethren, he says again, verse 13, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before. He said, hey, I know I haven't got it all yet, but you know what? I'm working on it. I'm going to forget all that stuff behind me that's dragging me down. We can all go back down the road and all the woe is me's and all the problems and all the sins and all the things, that all the reasons why, right? They say with kids, it's like when you get arrested, everything you say can and will be held against you in a court of law. It's what it is with preachers' kids. Everything they say can and will be used against them in a sermon illustration. But, you know, and they hate that. No, they see it coming. I'm not going to call any names now. But, you know, sometimes you'll talk to them about something. We'll have a little problem. They have 7,000 reasons why, right? I want you to do this. Well, this and this and this, you know. And you know, but I think about it sometimes. I do my Heavenly Father the same way, you know. And all these reasons why I couldn't do this. I could have. I would have served Him, or I would have done this, but this happened in 1974, you know. And we hold on to all these things. Say, hey, forgetting all that stuff, good, bad, and otherwise. Forgetting all the all this resume over here, forgetting all of that, whatever it is, the good and the bad and the ugly, put it behind us and reaching forth into those things which are before. He's out to get something. Amen. I press, forgetting, reaching, pressing. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul said, I want to know Him. I want to get a hold of Him. I want to catch up with Him. And I'm going to do what it takes to know Him. And when I read that, it creates a desire in me to want to know Him and want to do what Paul's doing. You know, how am I going to know Him? Well, let's go back a little bit and look at a couple verses in the middle of all that, and we'll try to pull it all together. How are we going to know Him? As we start in verse 10, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings, be made conformable unto His death. Then I'll look at verse 12 again. Not as though I'd already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after. If that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. You know how we're going to know Him more? We're going to seek Him. Amen. We're going to seek Him. We're going to have desire. Through desire, the proverb said over there. Right? Through desire. And sometimes we're going to have a desire for this thing. We're going to have to, you know, that's what happens when you get in a good meeting, right? And the Lord's showing up, and God's using the men of God, and God gives you a little taste of something and gives you a desire. Hey, I want some of that. I want what they had. I want what the men of God had. I want what God's doing here to happen. You know, sometimes we'll go to a meeting or a place, and we say, hey, I want that to be happen in my church or in my home. I want that. I want to see, you know, God do this for us, and He will do it. Amen? He'll do it if you'll let Him do it through you. And so he said, hey, I want to follow Him after Him. Now, this is a simple, if you hadn't figured out, I'm simple. But a simple illustration, here's the way I look at it. Now, when I was a kid, I played a game called hide and seek, right? You hid and somebody looked for you. And that's pretty simple. Now, unless you had mean brothers and sisters like I did, and they never looked for you, right? You just hid and hid and hid, right? And that happened too. Mainly my brother, right? He's a Miss Melanie. She's a good one, Miss Grace. She's all right, too. Nah, but my brother, now, he's a different one. But that's how older brothers are. But my big brother, right? That's what I call him now that I'm bigger than him. I wish we could go back in time sometime. But anyway, that's a different story. Well, we'll leave the psychology for somebody. But, you know, we play hide and seek sometimes. And so somebody would hide. And Roger, say, you count, you know, count your numbers. 1, 2, skip a few, 99, 100, right, ready or not, here I come. And you come, you're looking. We're going to look to find them. And to me, that's kind of what I see in my mind here when I read this text. Paul said, you know, God had found him, right? He wasn't looking for the Lord on the way to the road to Damascus, was he? The Lord was looking for him. Luke chapter 19, verse 10 says, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came looking and he found him that day. He said, I got a job for you, Paul. And so he found him. And that's the way it is when you play hide and seek, right? You find somebody. And what happens to the person you find? Now there he is, right?
Now there he is. So my mind said this. Paul said, hey, I want to apprehend that for which also I'm apprehended. So the Lord called him and changed his life. But now, you know what? Now he's it. Now he's on the looking in. Now he's out searching for God and trying to find him. You following me? He's been tagged and now he's wanting to get a hold of God. And he's wanting to tag and find him. And so I'm saying to you tonight, you want to know more about him. You want to know him in the fellowship of suffering. Well, maybe tonight we need to say to you, tag, you're it. Amen. He did his part. He paid the price. He gave you the book. He gave you the Holy Spirit. He gave you a man of God and the house of God and everything we need to find him. And we say, Lord, just maybe one of these days he's just going to blow in and feel me. Well, he will maybe if you get after him a little bit. Amen. You get to seeking him. You get to looking for him. Let's look at Old Testament verse over there, Hosea chapter 10 and verse number 12. You'll know that verse. Probably when we read it. Hosea chapter 10 and verse number 12. Excuse me, I'm going to get a swallow of water while you turn in there. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, Hosea 10, 12. Reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, till He come and rain righteousness upon you. You know, for some of us, we just apply this spirit tonight. It's just time for us to seek the Lord. Amen. It's just time to get a hold of God. Like I said, we may be like these folks. They were in a bad place here, the children of Israel were. But, you know, He said, hey, here's what you need to do. You need to sow, put some good righteousness in there, sow in some righteousness, reaping some mercy, break up those old hard, fallow ground, and seek the Lord, and then let Him send that rain. And some of us, maybe we've been through a hard time, a lot of us have, and spiritual, as I said, drought maybe even, and now we're looking for God, and we want Him to move, and maybe we're looking for God to move, but it's time for us to move, is what I'm saying tonight. Maybe it's time for me to move a little closer to Him. Maybe it's time for me to move and begin to, time for me to seek the Lord. You know, He said in Isaiah 55, verse 6, seek ye the Lord while He may be found, call upon Him while He is near. And I believe He's near, very near. I believe He's very available. I believe He wants you and I to know more of Him than we want to know more of Him. But it's going to be up to us to make the next move. I really believe that tonight. He said in Acts chapter 17, I'm just reading some verses, and He made one of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth and hath determined times before and appointed in the bounds of their habitation. Why? Verse 27, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they may feel after Him and find Him, though He be not very far from every one of us. We're talking about, tag, you're it. It's time to seek the Lord. And I believe you'll find that He's very near. He's not very far at all. You know, we play hide and seek. Sometimes I pick on Abigail now. She gets embarrassed. Don't look at her. We play hide and seek. She's still little. She's getting bigger now. But you know how it is when kids are little. Y'all had them. They don't pick the very best hiding places sometimes, right? They go behind the curtain, right? And you walk in, you pretend like you're looking for them, and they're giggling. You see the curtain moving, or they're under the bed, and their feet are sticking out, right? And I can't find you, right? Sometimes like that. I think maybe that maybe kind of how the Lord's hid sometimes. He's not hid very well. Man. But you know what? We still can't find Him because we're not looking. I believe He may be just very near. He may just be right there, just almost out in plain sight, but just looking for somebody to come by looking for Him. He's not hard to find. Amen. You know, let's look at Exodus chapter 33 tonight. Exodus chapter 33. I know, church, that you love the Lord. And I know you want to serve Him. And I know that you know God. But I believe there's a place for more. Amen. There's a place for more. Many times in life, I've got little situations and just said, Lord, I don't know how to do this. I don't know what I'm going to do. And had it not been for the Lord, I didn't know what I'd do. And that's the situation that happened here in Exodus chapter 33. Moses is about to lead these children of Israel all across this wilderness. And he's already come out and seen the Lord do some things and already seen some trouble. And now here he is. He's up there with God. And God's given him the commandments and all these different things are going on. And he's met with him in the temple. There's a lot going on. But here he's having this conversation with the Lord. There in chapter 33 and verse 13, he says, now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. Moses said, Lord, show me thy way. Didn't he even say, show me the way to go? That's why we pray so many times. Lord, show me what to do. Show me what's next. He just said, Lord, show me now thy way, that I may know thee. He recognized if he knew God, that God would take care of the way. Amen? God would take care of doing the leading and the following. It wasn't as important to know what God was doing as it was to know God. Amen? To know that God was in control and he was just going to follow him. You know, I think about Moses often. You know, we say, well, Moses did a great job. He led those people through the wilderness. Well, how much leading did he really do? I mean, he led them, but he followed God, right? He had a pillar of fire, cloud by day, pillar of fire. He just followed God. And that's the job of many of a pastor and preacher. What does he do? He just follows God, right? Follows God and try to lead God's people safely through to the other side. And that's what he did. And Moses didn't pick the route. Moses didn't say, all right, we're going to go this way today. We're going to come around. He just followed God and followed God's leading. But he recognized that, hey, if I'm going to do this, Lord, I'm going to have to know you. I'm going to have to know you. And Moses, we're talking about who the Bible says was a friend. It says Abraham was a friend of God. But Moses, though, here in the Bible. And it said, verse 14, and he said, the Lord speaking back to him, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. That's what we're looking for. Just God's presence to go with us. Amen. Just God. Brianna, my niece, wrote a song that says, Jesus is the answer. We begin to praying and looking for answers to all the problems, and we find out in the end that he was the answer all along. The answer to every question is Jesus. The answer of everything is that I may know him. And Paul, Moses recognized that, hey, if I could just know thy way and find thy way that I may know thee, then I can do this task. And he said there in verse 15, and he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. Hey, Lord, if you're not going with me, I'm not going. Amen. That'd be a good way to be. The problem is most of the time we're the other way. We just go ahead with or without him. And we do, we get in a mess. And then we go back again and do it again. And we do like the children of Israel, and we wander. And we wander. And we wander. And I think most of Christians' life is spent wandering. Wandering in the wilderness. But Moses recognized, hey, if I'm going to do this, Lord, then I'm going to have you. I'm going to have to know you. And the Lord said, that's not a problem. My presence will go with you. Now, you know what? If the Lord's presence will go with you, you can go through some things. Some of y'all have been through some things that I've never been through. I believe that, and I know that. I know it to be true. But I know if the Lord go with you, you can make it. Amen. I know that if the Lord puts you in the fiery furnace and he goes through with you, you can make it to the other side. We know that from my book, right? We know if the Lord backs you up against the Red Sea where you can't even do anything, you got an army breathing down your neck behind you, and a great sea in front of you, they'd already experienced that. Everything in our human nature and flesh says run, fight, swim, do anything. And the Lord's saying stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. He's supposed to do a miracle. He's going to let you walk across on dry land. But if you never get in a bind and get the enemy behind you, never get pushed in the corner, you'll never see God work. But you know what they needed? They didn't need a boat. They didn't need, they needed God. God can make a way when there's no way. Amen. That's what they needed. And I'm saying to you and to me tonight, what we need is God. Amen. It's not another stimulus check. Yes, I did cash mine. But it's not another, you know, Republican or Democrat or those things. It's God. We need Him. We need Him. And Paul said that I may know Him. And tonight I'm saying to you and I, if we would know Him, oh, what a difference it would make in our lives. I'm preaching to the choir tonight, amen. Folks that know God have been in church, but I'm telling you, there's so much more to know about Him, so much more. There's so much. I know very little. I'll be the first to admit that of Him, but it sure is good when I meet Him, amen. It sure is good when I spend some time with Him, and somehow He sees fit to come by my way, and come and meet in my little house, and come and meet in my heart, or to speak to me. When I read His Word, when I do, I find myself back in verse 12 again. And that thing that apprehended me, I want some more of that. I want to apprehend that. And I'm saying to you tonight, if you've ever felt a touch, and I know you have, I know you've been in a good church and the Lord's moved here many times, and you know what it's like. And if you've ever been closer to God than you are tonight, I'd say get in after Him and don't be satisfied till you get what God's got for you, amen. Get a hold of the hem of the garment. Get a hold of Him. Get somewhere along God and say, Lord, if you're not going with me, I'm not going up. Hey, you know, it's a big deal to lead children of Israel across the wilderness, but it's also a big deal to lead a family. It's a big deal to take a job. It's a big deal to buy a home. There's all kinds of decisions that we make in this life, and if we don't make them with the Lord, we're going to mess up, amen. But when you got the Lord with you, you've always got you got some help and you got the answer, amen. You don't have, it's easy to take a test when you got the answers, right? And we've got the answers, we've got the book, and all we got to do is get in there and get a hold of it. So tonight, maybe we play a little hide and seek with the Lord, amen. Maybe I hope and pray that He found you already like He found the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus. We mentioned that this morning. I hope that there's been a time, as the preacher said, in a place in your life where you accepted Him as your Savior. When you called unto Him in repentance and faith and asked Him to be the Lord of your life. I remember Brother Bill Allen saying many times, He's not Lord of all. He's not Lord at all. Amen. He's Lord of all of our lives. And if you've done that and you know you're saved tonight, then I want to do anything tonight. My prayers, the Lord will help create in you and me tonight a desire for more. Amen. To just to know Him a little more. And as we go by, what a week to know more about the Lord. If you get in your Bible this week of all weeks and read about what He did on Calvary, as I said this morning, and looking forward to what you're going to come together and remember on Sunday, as we do every Sunday on the Lord's Day, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. What a week to just really get a hold of God, have a special week with Him, just to know more of Him. Paul said, I haven't got it all figured out yet. That's probably the first step. Sometimes just admit, hey, I don't have it all figured out, Lord. Many times I'd say, Lord, I don't know what I'm doing. Just like Solomon, Lord, I'm like a child. I don't even know how to go, you know, we'll put it in Mississippi Redneck. I don't even know how to get in and out of the rain, right? I don't know what to do. I don't even know how to go out and come in. But we know the One who does, amen. And, you know, I think about this often. As I get ready to close. When I was a kid, oftentimes we'd hunt with my dad, and now I'll try to not take my boys. And a lot of times we'd be somewhere, I don't know, you know how it is, your kid just get in the truck and they get out. And he says, follow me, right? And I start following him. And I don't know where we're at. I don't know how to get there. I don't know anything. But you know, I know if I stay with him, I'm all right, right? And I know as long as I stay close to him. And I didn't let, a couple times maybe he'd get to walking faster than me. And I'd look up and I couldn't find him. And, oh no, especially as a little kid, I can remember this. Oh, I'm doomed. But you know what I'd find out? If he got a little ahead, sometimes he'd slow down or he'd stop or he'd turn around and come back. He wasn't very far. He wasn't going to get so far away from me that I couldn't keep up with him. He was interested in me keeping up with him. Because you know, after all, he cared more about me than I even cared about him. Because he's my father. That's what fathers do. Man. But I knew if I just stay with him, that I'd make it. You know, I tell my kids all the time, hey, hop in the truck. We're going somewhere. Where are we going? What does it matter where we're going? Right? You're going with me. That's where you're going. Right? And you're going with me. You're going to be all right. I'm going to take care of the driving. I'm going to take care of the buying. I'm going to take care of everything you need. You just got to get in. And that's the way it is with the Lord sometimes. Quit trying to figure it all out. Quit trying to all right, Lord, where we're going to go, how we're going to get there, what time. You know, my wife, she hates to drive with me, right? Because I'm a bad, I won't call it a backseat driver, but, you know, next door driver there because, all right, turn here, do this, speed up, slow down. She'll pull over and say, hey, you drive now. Fine, you drive. Because you can't stand it because I drive her nuts. Because I'm a nervous wreck. Why? Because I want to be in control, right? And I think we're in control. Somehow we think we're in control. And somehow in our life sometimes we think we're in control. All right, you know, Lord, do this, turn here, do that. And sometimes He may say, okay, I want you to drive a little bit. And you know what? Most of the time we do, we end up in a ditch. All right, say, all right, Lord, why don't you drive again? And she's a better driver than I am. And why don't you drive again? And I think that's the way it is sometimes. Hey, just get in with the Father, amen? Let Him lead the way. Let Him do the driving. Get in behind Him like Apostle Paul did. And just see where He may take you. There's no telling, amen, what the Lord will do with folks that really want to know Him, amen? That's my desire tonight. And I pray maybe encourage you to have that desire as well. Let's pray.